Tim Nesbitt.
My name is Tim Nesbitt. I'm the Executive Director of the Oregon State Council of Service Employees International Union. And we're here to urge you to reject HJR 17. And I want to make just a couple of key points. HJR 17 asks the voters to approve what amounts to a destabilization fund in the state's general fund budget. By placing the current kicker law in the Constitution, HJR 17 would permanently shut off, or at least even in HJR 17A, which has a provision for two-thirds vote, would make less likely the option for stabilizing state revenues and expenditures, i.e. setting aside money in good times in order to deal with shortfalls during bad times. We're the only state in the nation with a kicker, and we're one of only five states without a stabilization fund. This places us on a fiscal roller coaster with no mechanism to smooth out the highs and lows of economic cycles. And we know that the Dash A amendments were intended to provide some outlet, some ability to suspend the kicker. But with a two-thirds supermajority requirement, it's unlikely to be readily used. We also want to point out that the way the kicker is currently structured, it's fraught with inequity. By separately estimating and calculating revenues from individuals and corporations, it has generated refunds to corporations far in excess of their proportionate contribution to the general fund. Let me give you some examples. Oregon's corporate income taxpayers pay less than 10% of our total state income taxes. But in 97-98, they received more than 30% of the state's kicker credits. And 3 years ago, the contrast was quite stark. Individuals and small businesses that pay the personal income tax got 6% kicker refunds, while corporations got 50%, 5-0.
Do you know why?
Because we're separately calculating and attempting to estimate two sources of revenue,
and
one of which is more volatile than the other.
Mm-hmm. And they overpaid?
That's right. Well, the state took in, without any change in tax structure, and the state took in more money than expected. One could say that the estimate was poor. And because we missed
that, they had to pay more.
Pardon me?
If it would have been low and they ran out, they would have had to pay more. You know, we did that in the early 80s. Back in range.
You mean if you had to do a surcharge? Senator, I would suggest that if some, maybe all, but even if some, of the revenues that have been refunded via the kicker, including those refunded to corporate income taxpayers during the 90s, had instead been held on to and made and put into a stabilization fund, we would now have a taxpayer protection mechanism against such surcharges in the future because we have a rainy day fund or stabilization fund to use to smooth out the highs and lows.
May I ask one more question? If you went to the grocery store and you overpaid and they thought we'll keep your change in case you run out of money next month, would that be fair?
Senator, I think the analogy would be if I went to the grocery store and maybe bought more products than they expected I'd buy, then they'd get more money from me. But I would still be paying a fair price.
Well,
and we're not talking about...
they should pay $20 and it only costs $3. And they said, we'll just keep this and apply it to your credit. You should get the money.
Well, Senator, I think that's how I would deal with that situation on the checkout line, but as a taxpayer paying a fixed rate, 5.79% of my income, or 6.6% as a corporate income taxpayer does. And on the corporate side, if I have more profits, I'm going to pay more. As an individual, if I have more income, I'm going to pay a little bit more. And it's the job of the state economist to make that estimate about how much, in aggregate, taxpayers will be making and paying. And when the estimate's off, that's when the kicker comes into effect. And what I'm saying is that if we had other mechanisms, when good times produce strong returns under the current tax system we have, under the current tax rate, to set aside some of that money for stabilization funds, we'd be also protecting future taxpayers against having to do income tax surcharges to maintain services in those downturns. Finally, I want to point out that we have inequities within the ranks of personal income taxpayers as well. In 97, we saw taxpayers with incomes above $100,000 who are 4% of the individuals who pay taxes in the state, get 30% of the kicker refunds. And that's another way in which the kicker does not necessarily work equitably for Oregon taxpayers. In summary, we ask you to reject HCR 17 and not recommend it to the voters. We believe it will jeopardize the stability of the state's general fund and continue a flawed and inequitable tax policy for years to come. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We haven't been called, but we were asked to come back to the floor right away, so I think we're going to recess now and go back for a floor vote.
Okay.
Yes. Did you write the floor?
Sure.
I didn't tell them when I left the floor.
I'll be happy. Oh, that's right. Okay. All right.
I didn't, we're gonna wait for, we will do as I first said, we'll recess. We'll be back as soon as we can, but we're, public hearing on HCR 17 and Representative Knoth. Oh, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. State Representative Tim Knoth for the record. HCR 17 is about protecting the people of Oregon. Before you today, you have the most successful and popular ongoing tax relief program in Oregon history. HCR 17 is, as you know, is a ballot measure referral for the November 2000 ballot, and it would put the kicker law that we currently have in statute into the Constitution. Only with a two-thirds vote of both the House and the Senate could the legislature suspend the kicker for an emergency. Right now, the legislature could change the kicker law or eliminate it or keep the money with a three-fifths vote. Under HCR 17, we're simply raising the bar. The kicker money that is above, the kicker is really money that is above and beyond what's been budgeted. It's excess over-collected taxes, and it's really not money that I believe should be available to the state. I believe it should be taxpayers' money. It needs to be returned. I think we spend too much time debating that fact in this in both these chambers, and it is my intention to give the people of Oregon the opportunity to vote on whether or not they want to permanently protect their kicker. Since 1980, Oregon voters passed the kicker law by a 10-to-1 margin. Over $1.2 billion has been refunded to Oregon's families, and about $436 million has been returned to Oregon corporations. Actually, corporations, but not all Oregon corporations. Money that these taxpayers have spent on their priorities and money that really has spurred our economy. Some certainly have signed their checks over to schools, which is great, and it was their choice. Some chose their church and some their favorite charity. But the majority of people, I'd say the vast majority, chose their family as their number one priority for that money. As I said, HCR 17 will allow Oregonians to decide. We're simply referring to them and saying, do you trust the legislature every 2 years, or would you prefer that it be put in the Constitution so it can't be messed with it, and if there is a kicker, that it will be returned to you? And some of the arguments against this have been that, well, it ties the legislature's hands. Well, it really doesn't, and if you look back at the history of the kicker, it has been suspended twice. This still gives a legislative provision where if we get into an emergency, it can be suspended if that were to happen. But what it really does is it protects the integrity of the law itself, so the legislature can't mess with those provisions of it. And this has been a law that has really enabled government to be restrained in some way. And as you know, when I say in some way, that means we've kept the increases per biennium to about 20%. So it's been restrained in that way, but probably not in the way that government should be restrained in this building. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have about the law or the intent of what I'm attempting to do.
Any idea of what level of spending we might be looking at today if we had not seen the kicker?
Conservatively, $1.6 billion would have been available in the state budget if the kicker had not been returned to the people. So that means $1.6 billion that would have, been rolled up biennium after biennium. And I believe last biennium was the biggest kicker, so the biggest roll-up would have come this session. So, conservatively, you're looking at least a $2 billion hole $2 billion for which taxes would have to be raised or programs would have to be cut if that money hadn't been returned. And as you know, there are not people out dying in the streets because we're not spending enough money in this building. Sure, some argue that, well, we need to direct more money to education or we need to direct more money to this program, but I've only been here 6 months, and I've realized that for the $1.3 billion or the $1.5 billion that the budget will increase this time, there's at least $3 to $4 billion worth of requests beyond that from other sources. So the needs will always be endless. But it's my view that we need to do something to protect taxpayers in this process.
Any further questions?
Mr. Chair, two comments for the record. One, you made reference to overcollected taxes.
Mm-hmm.
The kicker is not overcollected taxes. It is taxes that are collected through the regular income tax mechanism. They are unanticipated revenues, but they are not overcollected. And the other piece is you're making an interesting assumption that all of that money would have been spent in the budget. I think that there is an excellent opportunity that we would have a rainy day fund. It had the kicker not been given back at least in one of those instances, perhaps twice, that we would today have a rainy day fund that we don't have. So that would not be involved in any roll-up expenses. It's money that's there and is available if the legislature meets the criteria and tests into it. So you can't assume that all of that money would have been spent in budget.
Certainly cannot assume that, but the evidence indicates that with 20% per biennium increases in state government, we've not had the restraint or the self-discipline to put any of those funds into our rainy day fund. We've spent them all. And so I am of the school that believes that the only restraint on the growth of government is restraint on the available revenues.
I understand that perspective. It's just that I know that at least two sessions since I've been here, there's been a really strong push to establish a rainy day fund. So I think it's not unreasonable to believe that one of these speakers could have gone into that.
You win.
Not very often.
Okay. Any further testimony?
Well, it's constitutional, then.
We will close public hearing and open work session on HJR 17.
I move. There aren't any amendments, are they? No. Okay, I move HJR 17A. To the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Sharon has moved HJR 17A to the floor with due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Duke?
No.
Senator Shannon?
Aye.
Senator Tarnow?
Aye.
Senator Wilde?
Aye.
Chair Shaw?
Aye. Having received the necessary majority, HJR 17 has moved the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Mm-hmm. Will,
are you going to make that carry? Sure, we'll carry.
Thank you very much.
We have before us possible open a work session on possible reconsideration of the House Bill 3119.
Chair, I move that we suspend the rules to reconsider the vote on House Bill 3198.
Senator Shannon has moved that we suspend the rules to reconsider the vote on House Bill 3198. Discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Senator
Duke?
Aye.
Senator Shannon?
Aye.
Senator Tarnow?
Aye.
Senator Wilde?
No.
Senator
Sherpa? Aye. Having received the necessary votes move to reconsider has passed.
Chair Starr, I move to reconsider the vote by which House Bill 3190 was sent to the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation.
Senator Shannon has moved to reconsider the vote by which House Bill 3190 was sent to the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation. Any discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Duke?
Aye.
Senator Shannon?
Aye.
Senator McConnell?
Aye.
Senator Wells?
Aye.
Strickland?
Aye. We have passed the vote to reconsider House Bill 3190, and it's now before us.
Mr. Chair, let's make a motion to rescind the de-engrossed version.
Or is it deleted? No, wait a minute. It's not before us without the amendment, is it not?
No, it's
not. Mr. Chair, I would move to delete the dash B5 amendments to House Bill 3190 with an explanation. Mr. Chair, I have to humbly apologize to the gentleman in the audience. When I told several days ago that I would support 3190 as submitted to this committee, and this morning I didn't carry through that promise, so I must humbly apologize and try to atone for my sins.
And he took me along with him.
Senator Turnhoe has moved to delete the dash D5 amendments from House Bill 3190. Any discussion? Any objections? Not supported.
Senator House Bill 3190 is for legislation.
Senator Turnhoe has moved House Bill 3190 to the floor for due pass recommendation. Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Duke?
Aye.
Senator Shannon?
Aye.
Senator Turnhoe?
Aye.
Senator Wild?
Aye.
Chair Starr?
Aye.
I receive the necessary majority. The House Bill 3190 is moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And since we stripped out Senator George's amendment, we will appoint Senator Carno as chair. We meet in here tomorrow at 1.
We need Wild, don't we?
Oh, you don't. No, we have realized.
We have realized, too.
When my kids come back from vacation, and I want to.
Yes. This committee has no further business.
We meet here.
All right.